This morning, we are going to look at a story from the book of Genesis. And to do this, we need to know a little bit of the background and context that this story is taking place in. And to do that, we need to know about Abraham and Sarah. So Abraham and Sarah are found in the book of Genesis, and they are well known for being the mother and father of faith in the Bible. We know that historically there are three Abrahamic faiths that all trace their lineage back to Abraham and Sarah. That's Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. So Abraham and Sarah are kind of a big deal. However, they are not perfect people. Abraham and Sarah had ups and downs. They made mistakes throughout their life. God has this extraordinary way of using broken people and making mighty nations out of them. Our story today centers around a more minor character than Abraham and Sarah, and we're actually going to find her story in Genesis 16. And while we begin reading Genesis 16, Abraham and Sarah are going to be referred to as their original names of Abram and Sarai. God has not given them new names yet, so stick with me. If I intersperse Abraham and Abram and Sarah and Sarai, just trust me, same people, same message. We're going to get there together this morning. Abram and Sarai lived out in the desert, and while that for some of us may not seem optimal, they had a ton of wealth and they had a ton of power. Abram and Sarai really didn't have many complaints other than one. Sarai was unable to birth a child, and Sarai found herself frustrated with this. She chose to blame God for this misfortune, and she decided to take matters into her own hands. Like I said, not perfect people. Our first scripture reading will come from Genesis 16, verse 2. Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from giving birth, so go to my servant. Maybe she will provide me with children." Abram did just as Sarai said. Abram laid with Sarai's servant, and Sarai's servant discovered she was with child. When she made this discovery, she decided to lash out against Sarai. She became reckless. The servant became disobedient. So much so that Abram and Sarai go on to have this conversation in verses 5 through 6. Sarai said to Abram, "This harassment is your fault. I allowed you to embrace my servant. But when she realized she was pregnant, I lost her respect. Let the Lord decide who is right, you or me." Abram said to Sarai, "Since she's your servant, do whatever you wish to her." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she ran away from Sarai. I spent my summers as a camp counselor at a church camp. And my goal each week as I got a new group of students throughout the summer was threefold. I wanted students to grow in their faith of Christ. I wanted campers to feel safe. And I wanted them all to have a great week at camp. Those were my three goals beginning every single week of summer camp. And in order to do those three things, I started with doing one thing, and that was learning the names of the campers I met. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, "Oh, I'm terrible at knowing names." Or you may think, "Yeah, pretty good at the whole name thing." And our first week of camp, we had to go through a training. And at this training, we were taught how important it was to know the names of campers. That when we got to know campers' names, everything else seemed to fall in place. When we took time to get to know who they were, they opened our eyes into their lives. So it wasn't so much about bragging about how great we were at knowing names or how great we were at facial recognition. Believe it or not, I made a lot of mistakes. I called many campers the wrong name all of the time. I am just like Abram and Sarah. I am not perfect. And those experiences were learning experiences. Even when I called a camper the wrong name, I was able to be corrected in a very loving way. And I was able to get a second chance to call them the right name. Typically, when I misspoke, I was able to learn that camper's name much quicker because they would correct me throughout the rest of the week. Names can be really important. And it was impossible as a camp counselor to have one-on-one conversations with every single camper. But campers left camp knowing that someone knew their name. Someone out of all of the counselors took time to call them by their name, to pray for them by name, to wish them well in life by name. Names can be really important to who we are, to recognizing that we are known. Hagar is our servant this morning, and her story begins in Genesis 16, 7 through 13. When Abram and Sarai are talking in those dialogues we read earlier, they never call Hagar by her name. They call her servant. We only know her name because of this passage we're about to read and because of the narration around that dialogue. Hear these words, verses 7 through 13. The Lord's messenger found Hagar at a spring in the desert, the spring on the road to Shur, and said, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where did you come from? Where are you going?" She said, "From Sarai, my mistress. I'm running away." The Lord's messenger said to her, "Go back to your mistress. Put up with her harsh treatment of you." The Lord's messenger also said to her, "I will give you many children, so many they can't be counted." The Lord's messenger said to her, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You will name him Ishmael because the Lord has heard about your harsh treatment. He will be a wild mule of a man." What every parent wants to hear about their kid. "He will fight everyone and they will fight him. He will live at odds with all his relatives." Hagar named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Rai," because Hagar said, "Can I still see after God saw me?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A drama miniseries recently aired on Netflix by writer-director Ava DuVernay. And this series is called When They See Us. The series is 4 episodes, and it covers a case in New York that some of you may be familiar with from 1989 called the Central Park Jogger Case. This is a woman who was jogging in Central Park and was brutally attacked and sexually assaulted. And When They See Us, the miniseries, follows the lives of the 5 young black men who were convicted for this crime. It starts when the boys are in middle school and follows them through the juvenile system, through the prison system, through their lives. And we learn, and if you keep up with the news, these 5 young black men were later exonerated for this crime. The true perpetrator came forward. This story, When They See Us, is insight into these boys' lives. Even though it's dramatized, their stories are their truth. And it's important for us to know this story. I found myself enthralled in this series. It is a very, very painful series to watch. It's heartbreaking. It's really uncomfortable. And for a lot of people in America, it's a reality too. Something that caught my attention was afterwards they did an interview about the series with the director, and the director was asked why they didn't name the series Central Park Five, which is what the five men became known as. Her response really shook me to my core, and I want to share it with you all this morning. She said, Central Park Five felt like something that had been put upon the real men by the press, prosecutors, and police. The label Central Park Five took away their faces. It took away their families. It took away their pulses and their beating hearts. It dehumanized them. They're Yusef, Antron, Kevin, Raymond, and Corey. Those are their names. We need to know them and say their names. As a director, it became really important to think about this at every level, because the first time you meet a movie or TV series is when it walks up to you and says, "Hi, my name is." It really needed to be more than Central Park Five. To be seen. The director yearned for these exonerated men to be known, to be heard, to be seen. Hagar, too, yearned to be seen. Hagar yearned for a better life for herself and her soon-to-come son. She felt as if they were limited by their title of servant. Sarai and Abram saw Hagar as a means to an end, as property, as something to be used as their leisure. They refused to see Hagar as a human being with a pulse and a beating heart. They don't see her. They don't even call her by her name. Yet God sees Hagar. God calls out and says, "Hagar, where are you going?" And in return, Hagar does something extraordinary. Hagar, we can assume, did not believe in Abram and Sarai's God. She was Egyptian. She had her own faith system separate from the God we know. Yet when God takes the time to call Hagar by name, Hagar, in return, is the first and only person in the Bible to call God a new name, El Rai, God who sees. An Egyptian woman of a different faith claims and names God. This is a powerful moment. Jesus' entire ministry in the New Testament is about naming those society refused to give a voice to, those on the margins, those who feel like they don't have a home, the woman at the well going in the middle of the day to avoid seeing anyone, the blind man begging for money, the lepers. Jesus continued to do ministry, to heal, to spread the news to those who were deemed unseen, who were deemed invisible. Christ gave them a name. My heart breaks this morning as I think of the families and victims in El Paso and Dayton, people who were stripped of their right to be given a name because of hate. As Christians, we are called to see those around us, to know their names, to say their names, to hear their stories. As Christians, we are called to follow Christ's example and to follow the gospel, a gospel of love and acceptance. And that's what we're faced with today. How do we see the people around us? How do we claim them? How do we recognize their worth regardless of the labels society may have placed upon them. It's an ongoing challenge, one that we will struggle with and fail at every single day, but it's a worthy challenge. Seeing the people around us, hearing their story, spreading love to the ends of the earth, continuing Christ's legacy of grace and love, accessible to all. Hagar had a name. The five men had a name. We too have a name, and God knows that name. God calls and claims each of us this morning. God sees our true selves, even those parts we hide from the rest of the world. How can we go forth and claim God, see God, El Rai, God who sees, and spread that love to the ends of the earth? May we see those around us. Amen.